This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, Wes, we got a lot going on. We continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You got us on SiriusXM 371, an assortment of other radio stations. We got more parking passes in case other stations want to jump on board. We can do that. And we'll take a call or two if you're in the mood at 844-SAY-ACCN. But get started tonight. It's a Football Friday in the ACC, and tomorrow is a really, really busy day.
Yep. First time since 2018 that we've had 14 non-conference games on the same weekend. We get it here this weekend as well, starting tonight in Durham. And that's where we begin. One stat per game. The Blue Devils last week faced a blitz 47% of the dropbacks. They only surrendered a sack 9.4%. Is this too deep a dive into the analytics, by the way?
That would be true.
47% of the time on dropbacks, they faced a blitz, only surrendering a sack 9.4%. I don't know how North Carolina A&T and Coach Washington's team gets to Duke tonight. Once the ball is snapped, but it'll be interesting to see just how much pressure they try and put on Gunnar Holmberg.
Now, that's all fine and good. I'd hand it off to Durant 45 times.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
How about that idea? How about we don't worry about putting the quarterback back there slinging it?
Oh.
We just hand it off to Mr. Durant, who went for 255 last week in the Queen City. And he's capable of going crazy tonight, too. I mean, don't be surprised if he puts up a huge number.
All right, let's go to Virginia, Illinois tomorrow at 11 a.m. here on ACC Network, the first of four right here on the network. Of UVA's 32 rushing attempts last week against the College of William & Mary, 20 were by players who joined the team as quarterbacks. You know, maybe there is something to this. Brennan Armstrong, Keaton Thompson, Ira Armstead, Jacob Rodriguez. And I love the fact Thompson wanted to keep 99 this year, too, by the way.
Quality of the opposition will be magnified severely tomorrow. That's a major step up. This is not William nor Mary. This is Illinois of the Alliance of the Big Ten. A team that's already beaten Nebraska. This is a different test. But, again, what I like about this one for Virginia is you are at home. The Hoos have been very, very good in Charlottesville.
Yep. Norfolk State at Wake Forest. That's an ACC NX exclusive tomorrow. The Deacons are plus 11 turnover differential since the start of last season, Pack.
Again, I think Wake's going to be just fine. The Swiss get ready for an arrival of Florida State next week, which will be a big, big game, which we'll talk about.
Yep.
I expect Dave Clawson's crew to get off to a quick 2-0 start here.
You betcha. That is a good one for sure next week. Kennesaw State and Georgia Tech meet for the very first time in football. Despite their loss to NIU in week one, Georgia Tech held the Huskies without a first down on 8 of 12 defensive series. It's one of the things Jeff Collins talked about earlier this week is that the difference in the game was maybe 2 or 3 series in the contest. That's exactly right, but still an L for Georgia Tech. And now tomorrow, Kennesaw State, who's been a pretty good FCS program the last few years, comes to Atlanta for the first time. Big crowd expected, by the way, at Grant Field tomorrow.
Three things. Number one, Kennesaw State will need less than a quarter tank of gas for the round trip. Number two, I do not expect to see Jeff Collins, number 5, at linebacker. And number 3, this is a must win. My first must of the year for Georgia Tech.
Oh, boy.
You must win this game. You cannot start 0-2 at home, given that schedule, with what's coming up, with an L against whatever that was last week and an L against Kennesaw State. You can't do it. You simply cannot do it. This needs to be a W on the flats tomorrow.
You know what next Saturday is?
Oh, I know where it is. It's in the Valley, and that won't be pretty. If you come on there 0-2, good night.
Right.
Good night.
Yeah.
So this has to be a W.
Pittsburgh, Tennessee. Since 2019, the Panthers have recorded an FBS best 102 sacks. Clemson is next closest with 93. Tennessee allowed 3 sacks in week 1, 10th game allowing multiple sacks since a year ago.
I'll give you a more important stat. For 15 years, Tennessee has been mediocre at best, much to the chagrin of Ryan McGee and everybody else, Brant Packer and the rest of all the Tennessee fans I know. They're waiting to get back to being important and relevant. This is an important game for Pittsburgh, though. I told you. To me, this is a jumpstart game for the Panthers. You go in front of 100,000, take it on the road, look good, get the W. Watch out. Pittsburgh's off to the races. It's a big, big game for the Panthers and the ACC tomorrow.
Did we miss a chance to have Brother Brant come on and preview a little bit of the Vols for us?
He's too nervous. He can't even eat. He can barely breathe. He's just – and the Vols are over 500 for the first time in a while. He is nervous as all get out. He is.
Is he worried about tomorrow?
He's worried about everything. And they have a new puppy, too, named Cooper. Awesome dog. So he's got a lot on his plate right now. He does.
Well, he better find number 8 for the Panthers tomorrow in the defensive line, and number 8 at quarterback for that matter.
That's right. The
renewal pack is one of our alliance games too. The renewal of one of Eastern football's good rivalries, the Scarlet Knights and the Orange tomorrow at the Dome. And you get Rutgers and Syracuse. Syracuse was 8-for-12 on third down against Ohio. Best conversion rate under Dino Babers last Saturday night.
Well, both teams were pretty convincing on third down because Rutgers just tortured Temple, and Syracuse feels good. By the way, it can't be a sellout. Why? If the voice of victory is not there, there's going to be one ticket available. So, folks in Central New York, go check out the new Dome. Go check out the undefeated Syracuse Orange. That's a very important game for Dino Babers' club.
Blue Raiders of Middle Tennessee State are in Blacksburg tomorrow to meet Virginia Tech. That's another ACC NX exclusive for you tomorrow. Virginia Tech, no rushing touchdowns, 100.5 rush yards allowed over the last two games. That's 10 sacks, 5 interceptions as well.
No social media, no clippings. I don't want you reading any of that nonsense, Hokie Nation. Listen, you looked the part last Friday. All the pressure in the world. You stood up. You took care of business. You looked good doing it. Defense dominated. Offense scored enough. Crowd was awesome. We've seen Virginia Tech sometimes when these sleepy little teams come rolling into Lane Stadium. It's a sleepwalk to the third, fourth quarter. And then you're like, man, what are we doing? I want to see Virginia Tech get after somebody from the get-go coming off a big win. We saw them pull this off when they knocked off Ohio State back in 2014. They came home, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, they lose to East Carolina. You can't have that happen. I think after talking to Justin Fuente, my man, Fun with Foo, I think he'll have those guys dialed in, ready to go. I think there's a lot of momentum right now in Blacksburg, Virginia, about their football program.
Yeah, I agree with that. And schedule just kind of ascends for them. It'll be interesting to watch and see kind of how the Hokies build on last Friday night's big win over North Carolina. All right, BC, UMass meet at McGurk Stadium. First time since Doug Flutie took the Eagles over across the way in the Commonwealth. In 6 meetings since 2004, BC's averaging 35 points per game against UMass.
First visit to UMass since 1982. Why is 1982 an important number? Because that's exactly what UMass's record is against the FBS since they joined. 19 up, 82 down. By the time we get to
really?
Sunset, that is correct. That's a little factoid.
Wow.
That's not a trivia
Look
question. That's a factoid. And when the sun sets tomorrow, they'll be 19-83. That's what they'll be.
All right. Clemson is 4-0 all time against South Carolina State, Pac, and has outscored them 238-20. You ready for the rundown here?
Yeah.
59-0, 73-7, 52-13, and 54-0 are the scores.
Yep. Well, guess what? You can keep adding on, brother, because that's what you're going to see tomorrow in the Valley here on ACC Network. Tigers scored 3 last week. They got some catching up to do. They'll get caught up tomorrow. They're going to get caught
okay.
up tomorrow.
Another ball game exclusively on ACCNX tomorrow for you on the ESPN app. Louisville and Eastern Kentucky. The Cardinals take on the Colonels, looking to extend their win streak over FCS schools to 19. Last loss, the Colonels. They beat the Cards 45-21 in 1985.
Team of Mystery, normally decent at home, not too good on the road. Team of Mystery will even their season at 1-1 tomorrow. Not concerned about that, but there is work to be done in the Bluegrass State.
Now, no question. No question. All right. Appalachian State at Miami tomorrow, Pac.
Careful. Be careful.
Miami, 10-4 under Manny Diaz when surpassing 100 rush yards. 4-7 when failing to reach 100 yards of rushing. Only 88 on 31 carries last week against Alabama.
Of all the ACC games, for me personally, this is the score that I'm the most interested in. And it's not necessarily the final score. It's like first half score. I want to find out from Miami about, I've said it all week, what is the maturity level of this club? Have they put Alabama in the rearview mirror? There's nothing you can do with the Alabama game other than learn from it. But if they're still moping around about Bama, this, that, you know, I'm telling you, Appalachian State is well coached. They're afraid of nobody. They're going to roll in the Hard Rock thinking, man, this is Christmas Day. We get a chance to play here against the U. They will be excited to play you. So Miami's going to have to reach deep down from an energy level. The good news is the home fans should be great. I want to see Miami come out of the gate and say, guess what? You know what? We're still the team to beat in the ACC Coastal Division. We're still a top 15 team. So let's go prove it. So go prove it. Tomorrow, that's a really interesting game to keep an eye on tomorrow.
All right. I agree with you on that. Tomorrow night, Mississippi State welcomes NC State to Davis-Wade Stadium at Scott Field. The Wolfpack has not played an SEC team on the road since 2008 when they went to Columbia and Russell Wilson made his first career start.
Wes, that was a Southern Fried Football Tour visit.
Baby.
We were there. And that night, Russell Wilson, we had no idea who this guy was. He almost got decapitated in this game. And he got laid out for about, it seemed like a half an hour. And I mean, everybody in the building was worried for him. And they carted him off. And now we look back now, and you're like, man, Russell Wilson, what a great player he was. But we were there that night on the Southern Fried Football Tour. And I really did. I thought he was seriously injured and we would never hear from him again. It was that scary in Columbia. But he went on to be a pretty good player now. He could ball. Still is balling.
Absolutely right. Georgia State is at Carolina tomorrow night in Chapel Hill. Sean Elliott bringing the Panthers north up 85 to play the Tar Heels who lost in Blacksburg since 2014. Mac Brown's only 3-3 against G5 teams. One of those losses was Appalachian State a couple of years ago, Pac.
Well, better not be a loss tomorrow. Given all the hype and all the momentum, there's already been one flat spot. So I expect North Carolina to bounce back big time tomorrow night.
All right. Jacksonville State caps the quadruple header on ACC Network tomorrow night against Florida State. Last year's ball game, Jacksonville State actually led 14-0. Then Jordan Travis was put in the ball game and led the Noles on 5 straight touchdown drives.
I'm getting a text right now from Mike Norvell. He says, guys, just want to let you know that you'll find out tomorrow who the starting quarterback is. Mike Norvell. Thanks,
about coach. About 8 o'clock. Is that what we're thinking?
I know you can't make a prediction Kirk Herbstreit style because you're calling the game, so I will. The Noles will go to 1-1 tomorrow night. They'll be all right. I was impressed with them last week. Of the entire ACC landscape in week one, Virginia Tech and Florida State, in my opinion, provided the most intrigue in terms of, oh, now that's what we're talking about. I know the Noles lost a tough one, but, man, they showed me something last Sunday. So I hope they can build upon that tomorrow night when you're on the call with Roddy and company.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having the broadcast for you to cap the quadruple header here on ACC Network. We've talked about Pitt and Tennessee a lot this week, and rightly so. Johnny Majors will be kind of remembered, if you will, over the weekend in Knoxville. One of the guys that's going to be there is kind of the honorary captain for the Pitt Panthers, a longtime Majors friend and foe at times, Jackie Sherrill, in case you missed it, coming up next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. A little dog walking music for you on a Friday. Get you moving, baby. We got 14 ACC teams playing this weekend. One tonight, Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. A&T, 2 miles down the street, coming over to see Snake Eyes. But we got the Johnny Majors Classic coming up, though, this weekend, Wes. Johnny Majors Classic. Man.
You've been unbelievable all week since we ran that clip. Well, we had a good chance to Jackie Sherrill is a longtime guest on Packers Off Campus show, and he's been good enough to join us a couple times here on the TV side. And we started our visit the other day with Pack talking to him about just his relationship with Coach Majors.
What kind of guy was Johnny Majors? Because you had a really, really great relationship with him.
Yes. You asked that. I had the honor, Pack, to play for Coach Bryant. And I worked for Coach Bryant for a year. And then I worked for Coach Broyles. That's where I met Coach Majors. And so you had a little of three. Coach Bryant was a man's man. Everything you would want to be as a man, he was. Large in stature, but very compassionate person, but also very tough. And Coach Broyles was a great businessman, but Coach Majors was probably the best salesman and the best PR guy you could ever have. And when they hired him at Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh had won 3 games in the previous 3 years. They were 1-10, 1-10, 1-10. And they actually were going to drop football. They were going to try one more time. And if they couldn't get it back, then they were going to drop down to Carnegie Mellon to Class 2A back then. And when they hired Coach, there wasn't any question that he could do the job and sell the University of Pittsburgh. And he did. He let the coaches coach, and he went and sold the program and built a great program at Pittsburgh. And as we know, he went back to Tennessee, and it was somebody asked me about that, and I said, it's kind of like Coach Bryant said when he left A&M and went back to Alabama. He said, "Mama's calling," and I've always said to Coach Majors, and I told him, I said, "Coach, you're the state of Tennessee. You're a Tennessee treasure." And I tried to talk him not to go back to Pittsburgh the second time, but he was emotionally hurt that he got let go at Tennessee. But make a long story short, I don't think you'll find a player that ever played for Coach that will not tell you, Pack, the same thing, that they respected Coach Majors.
Well, they honored that 76 team last week in Heinz Field, and that was an emotional moment for a lot of people there because that brought Tony Dorsett back. But, Coach, here's the other thing, too. People who are learning about the history of college football, man, I got to tell you now, those Pittsburgh teams in the mid-70s, those things were dynamite all the way into the early 80s. You know that. I mean, that's when that place was in its golden age of football. And as you just told us, for a group that almost wanted to shut it down, that's a pretty daggone good, strong return to the game, wasn't it?
Oh, it's the greatest turnaround ever. And there's some rules in the defunct or soon to be defunct NCAA. One was our first year there in 1973, we recruited 76 players. We signed 76 players. So the next year, that's when we came out, or the NCAA came out with the 30 limit. You could only sign 30 players. Then they went down to 25. But they were going to, the administration and Coach Majors, and just think How many ADs or how many presidents would let anybody sign 76 players? So they, in their minds, they were determined that they were going to give it one more shot.
Jackie, I want to go back, since you're heading to Knoxville. 1980, you look across the field, bringing in a really talented team, but you didn't have Dan Marino that day, and you see Johnny Majors on the other sideline. Again, this is going to be a special weekend coming up, but what about that 1980 game? You had to have some mixed emotions seeing Johnny across the way, didn't you?
Absolutely, but Pat, you know I always say some funny things. They asked me about that during the week. Everybody wanted to know, well, here's the son or the assistant playing, the head coach. And I said, if Coach Majors and I were playing, there wouldn't be anybody in the stands. And so I said, we ain't playing. There's 100,000 people. But, the feeling was good. But our relationship was very, very good. And it was kind of like, I don't know if I thought about it as, like people may have thought, well, I got to go beat, my father, or I got to go beat. It was a game that we played. And even before the game, on Friday, Coach and I got together. We visited, and, the respect that we had both ways. But the sad stories to it, as you know, Tennessee was always one of the loudest stadiums ever. And there was a couple of reasons for that. One is they lined the field, both sides, with PV speakers. Those are the rock band speakers. The microphones, there's a lot of them, were in the band section. And if you really think about it, how can you hear Rocky Top over 100,000 people holler? You can't. So they put speakers in the band, mics and speakers on the field. But on the visitor side, the speakers were facing the field. So you couldn't hear yourself talk. Right. And on the other side, the home field, they were facing the stands. So before the game, I gave our security guys that traveled with us, Ray Goger and Johnny Parker, deputy sheriffs, I said, go cut the speaker wires. and they did. And they fixed them. And then right before kickoff, they cut them again.
Such a great story. Great story. That'll be a great scene, too. Johnny Majors Classic. What a great idea. Great idea.
You know what? He's an underrated storyteller, isn't he, Jackie tremendous. Sherrill? Underrated storyteller.
We've had Jackie on the radio show a bunch, and he and Barry Switzer now, I could sit back and listen to those guys just tell old war stories, and you'd be crying. You'd be laughing so hard.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, got a quick note here. I want to share it with you. You ready? J.D. Steele, Huntington, West Virginia, wanted to let us know that the last time Louisville lost to an FCS team was not Eastern Kentucky 1985. It was the mighty Thundering Herd 1987. Tony Peterson, one of the Herd's all-time great quarterbacks, threw Keith Baxter on the last play of the game to win it for Marshall. Thanks for watching, JD, this morning up in West Virginia.
We will pass that on to the expert research department because we had nothing to do with it. We just lead the parade.
That's it. All right. When we come back, we're off to Central New York. The running back of the Orange, Sean Tucker, who's from the Baltimore, Washington area, will join us. We look forward to talking to him after last week's effort at Ohio. And what does it mean tomorrow in the friendly confines of the Dome? Sean Tucker is next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a football Friday.
Yep.
I know Josh Macri, the voice of victory, is not able to make the road trip to Syracuse tomorrow, even though they're expecting a really good crowd for Rutgers coming to town. Wes, I know one dude is going to touch the football tomorrow. That was going to be Mr. Tucker, because he went off last week at OHIO, going for a buck 81. And with that said, making his debut on Packer and Durham, we head to Syracuse. Sean Tucker joins us front and center. Sean, first of all, good morning. We appreciate you joining us, and congrats on the hot start. I know that's exactly what you guys were looking for last week.
Yeah, thank you. I'm definitely looking forward to a hot start this weekend, you know, playing in the Dome. This will be like my first time playing with fans, so definitely be a great experience.
Sean, that's the exact route I wanted to take. Last year was so weird. I mean, you had 100 yards, really almost in your first start, I guess, against Georgia Tech. You added two more last year, fourth career 100-yard game last Saturday. But now, here's the home atmosphere that you get for real. I think they're expecting close to 40,000 fans. What do you think that's going to be like?
I definitely think it's going to be an electric game, you know, just the noise, the fans cheering the team on. It's definitely something that's new to me, but it'll definitely be a great feeling.
Sean, I've never spoken to or met a running back that doesn't want to touch the football 40-plus times. You know, we've talked about, you know, DeVito throwing the football. Man, I wouldn't throw it. I'd just keep handing the ball off to you and let you pound it. Now, Dino Babers will be watching this right now as we speak. If Coach comes up to you and says, hey, Sean, we need you today for a massive load in terms of running the football, you're good, right? You're good for 30-plus.
Yeah, I'm all good for it. You know, I've been training, and this is definitely something I'm definitely ready for and I'm willing to do.
Sean, last Saturday, the 181, I don't think anybody saw you play last year, surprised to know the number, but there was a lot of question about the offensive line. Have we missed a little bit on where that offensive line is here in the preseason?
I say definitely the O-line with our new O-line coach. And players coming back, they've definitely gotten a lot better through our spring, fall practices and everything. We've definitely shown a lot of improvement, and they've definitely gotten better.
So Rutgers comes to town. They put up 60-something last week. You've been watching film all week. What do you see from those boys from New Jersey?
They're definitely a good team. You know, solid up front, linebackers, the DBs. Definitely look like it's going to be a tough game, and definitely hoping to come out with a win.
Well, it's interesting. You guys, I think, got off to such a good start. A lot of people now want to see how that next step goes. What's the preparation been like this week, Sean?
Preparation has been the same. You know, we haven't done anything different, haven't changed anything major. Just coming every day, working, studying film, practicing, and getting ready for this game.
Now, you mentioned about getting home. You know, the fans haven't been in that building either. This going to be – we saw this last week – across the country, great home venues. It was almost like college football fans were just looking to just explode to be back in stadiums. We know how loud it can get in the Dome. The anticipation of coming through that tunnel with 40,000 plus screaming. I mean, I know you got to be excited about that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an excitement factor. Like I said, it'll be my first time playing with so many fans in the crowd. But, you know, I'm just going to stay focused and focus on the game plan this week.
Sean, in how weird last year was, you were able to find some success. How did that kind of work? I mean, you show up and say, okay, I'm gonna go be me in this, and despite the testing and all the things that we're going to have to go through to play, I'm just going to try and bring my game here?
Yeah, it didn't, all the like adversity that we had to face and with the COVID stuff and like the no fans and the crowds and everything. I didn't really let it faze me. It didn't really bother me anyway. I just wanted to play football, got on the field whenever I did, and I just focused on winning and trying to help the team get better.
Here's what I want to know from you. All right, I was going to go uniforms with you, but I'm not going to do that. I want to know, because you seem like a low-key, no-nonsense, take-care-of-business kind of guy. How do you get jacked up on Saturday? What are we listening to? Well, any pregame routine that you've got that says, all right, it's go time?
Nothing really specifically, but definitely hip-hop in general. Anything from Drake, Jay-Z, Kanye, around that route, yeah.
I don't hear any DC guys in there. I don't hear any DC guys in that list right there, Sean.
Nah, not really.
So are we wow. blasting it, or is it low key? I mean, you know, because I look again, you seem like a low key. Hey, my business is on the field. I need to talk about it. I'm going to walk it. So in the locker room, are you jacked up, going crazy, or is it just even keel till we get to kick?
Definitely say even keel. Once I get to like the game, I don't listen to music. Just focus and think about everything that I got to do, my job. And just get prepared for the game.
Sean, take me, I mean, you're from Owings Mills. There have been some ACC stars come from that area of the Baltimore-Washington area. You played at Calvert Hall, which at times in this conference has been known more maybe for basketball. Juan Dixon and Dwayne Farrell, two of the great ACC basketball players of all time, went at Calvert Hall. What was it about Syracuse? What was it about the recruiting process for Sean Tucker that took you to Syracuse?
I would say that them being my first offer, definitely the fact of them keeping in contact throughout the whole year, always checking on me and just wanting to talk to me and get more information and staying in contact was definitely a big factor of why I chose Syracuse.
How about Dino Babers, man? Every time we have Coach on, he's always got something cool to say. The locker room speeches are legendary. What's Dino like during this week? Has he been uptight? Has he been loose? What's it been like?
I say he's been loose. You know, a couple of times he has to get wild up and get on the players, but most of the time he's definitely calm and teaching the players, coaching the players on practice, and he's definitely a player's coach. Mm.
Well, I tell you what, I'm excited to see the ball game. Is the history of Rutgers in Syracuse been discussed much? I mean, a lot of it is down the road, but I mean, does this game any different, or is this just the next game for you guys?
I say this is definitely just the next game for us. We have a lot of more games in front of this, but we're definitely going to focus on this one and try to get the win and put our all on this game right here.
Well, coming after a one-win season last year, you already got that in your back pocket. Sky's the limit. It kind of feels like this is one of those games that, man, you get to 2-0, watch out, because everybody's been sleeping on Syracuse heading into the season.
Yeah, definitely. It was a great feeling last week to tie. Basically our win of last season. And like I said, there's definitely more bigger important games down the road. But for this week, we're definitely going to put on a show for this upcoming game.
All right, a couple of Calvert Hall guys on the Rutgers roster. So is there any trash talk this week?
I'm not really a big trash talking guy, but if they want to talk trash, they can be my guest. But you know, I just sit back and take it. Not really faze me.
You can already tell Sean ain't saying a word, man. Sean's just going to show up at kick time. Give me the football 35 times and block somebody and let me go run like the daylight. Before we let you go, though, Sean, since you're making your debut on the program, I want to know this. Since you've been at Syracuse, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class, I'll say first year coming being in a computer science major, definitely taking one of these computer science classes was definitely like hard since it was like the first year.
All right, yeah. So it was a freshman year, man. You go way back with that. Oof. Okay. Well, it must have made an impact on you for sure. I know that. Listen, fun watching you play, man. Good luck. Stay healthy the rest of the year, all right?
Appreciate it.
All right. Sean Tucker, Syracuse 181 last week against Ohio. More expected tomorrow. It is game two of our quadruple header here on ACC Network from the Dome in Central New York, Rutgers and Syracuse. Dwayne Farrell, Juan Dixon, Georgia Tech, Maryland, they went to Calvert Hall. He's from Owings Mills, Maryland. You know who else was from Owings Mills, Maryland, who was one of the great running backs in the ACC?
Give it to me.
Derek Fenner,
North Carolina.
Then later on in the NFL. So there you go. Sean Tucker.
Back to this game now, real quick. You know, we've talked about a number of teams in the ACC needing to get off to a quick starts. Syracuse was one that we mentioned. On the road at Ohio, Bobcats, good club. They took care of business and did it on both sides of the line of scrimmage. This is a critical game, right, for Dino. Because you look at this one like we do a couple other teams. man, if you can get to 2-0 coming off a lousy year, all of a sudden you start to believe that, guess what, we're finally healthy, we got the pieces in place. Just from a mental standpoint, how important this game is, and the fact that Syracuse has taken on an old Big East foe. They know Rutgers. They recruit against Rutgers. Those fans see each other every weekend, right, during the week with Rutgers and Syracuse fans. So, again, it's an old-school Northeastern rivalry showdown, and it's going to be interesting to watch which teams in this league, and really around the country, who can get off to 2-0 starts coming off mediocre or sub-mediocre years that all of a sudden believe that, hey, 2020's rear-view mirror, man. Don't even ask me a question about last year. It's about what we're doing right now. And for Dino Babers, he needs to have a good year. Everybody would tell you that who follows Syracuse. So you got one good W with the win against Ohio. Rutgers is a good club now. I mean, Chiano's done a really, really good job, 2.0 in Jersey. So this is another one of those games. It's Alliance Showdown, 104, involving ACC teams this weekend. Just keep an eye on this one, too, because if Syracuse can get a W and get to 2-0, you know what? All of a sudden, the conversation about, man, we got Cuse on the schedule is very different than what you thought it was going to be like in May and June and July when you're looking at schedules.
Yep. When we come back, Virginia Tech trying to avoid the letdown against Middle Tennessee State. And there are a couple of games that are expected to be blowouts. We talked about the Prove-Its, Virginia Tech and the letdown, and what else is in store for some of these other teams? We'll talk about it next. Packer and Durham's Friday edition continues.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget, the Sunday Best comes up following a busy day of football on Sunday. We start at noon with field hockey. James Madison at number 14, Wake Forest. Nice top 25 game for you there. And then we pivot to women's soccer. We'll be in Coral Gables, South Florida, and Miami. Sunday Best, noon and 2, field hockey and women's soccer right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. One app, one tap, Pack.
Yep.
In the effort to stay transparent.
Give it to you. Give it to me, Mr. Trivia.
No, bar bets. These are bar bets.
No, this is trivia.
Derek Hunter was not from Owings Mills.
Wait. You have to be accurate with the bar bet. Trivia, whatever. Just throw a question up against
Wait. Okay. I've been reminded that Derek Fenner was not from Oxon Hill. He was from Oxon Hill, Maryland, which is near Washington. Owings Mills is near D.C. Or Baltimore, rather. I'll get it straight in a minute. Owings Mills is near Baltimore. Oxon Hill's near D.C. Sean Tucker's from Owings Mills. Derek Fenner was from Oxon Hill. There you go.
I need a drink. I'm already confused.
It's 8:45.
Yeah, I know. Hey. Okay. Can we get to the Hokies before somebody gets hurt? Take all the sharp objects out of the room, please. Please.
How you doing? All right.
I'm good. I'm just trying to get through. Yeah. I'm just trying to get to 7:01 p.m. That's all I'm trying to do. If I can get to 7:01 p.m., I'm in business.
Can you give folks just a 10-second preview of what your day is going to be like tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Just a 10-second preview.
I will actually, believe it or not, I take the dogs out early, as you well know. I like to come down here to the basement.
Because watch game day.
Yeah. Well, No. Before game day, like an hour and a half before game day. Because as you well know, folks can't see it, but I've got multiple monitors in here. And throughout the course of the day, you can't see them. But through the course of the day, whatever's playing at ESPN, it could be recorded, could be studios, it could be live shots from whatever the shows are. Like I was watching Max Kellerman's new show, which is going to premiere next week. I saw all the preview stuff yesterday. I was sitting here fascinated by it. But I like to come down here Saturday mornings because I get all the shots of the crowd shots of College game day. And I just sit here with the dogs with something to drink, put my feet up, and I just watch the screens, and it's awesome. Students are going crazy, and it's just a fun hour and a half of I know I'm not supposed to see it. Like, this is only supposed to be stuff you see in a studio, but we got a studio here. So that's my Saturday morning, and then I'll sample everybody. I sample College game day, ACC Network, SEC Network, Big Ten Network, Fox Network. I watch everybody. And then at noon, man, butt on couch. Or in fact, tomorrow will be 11 a.m. because I watch Virginia, Illinois. And I watch every game till about, 1 o'clock in the morning. I watch all the Pac-12 games and making notes, and that's a full day. That's it.
I like it. Very good.
Work, work, work.
It's a big Saturday for Packer.
Always a big Saturday here at the house. Always.
All right. You mentioned Virginia, Illinois. In the Commonwealth tomorrow, Virginia Tech gets Middle Tennessee State. We talk about avoiding the letdown here, right? Last time the Hokies beat a top 10 team, they lost the following week.
To East Carolina. That's right.
7 years ago. Can they avoid the letdown tomorrow, Pack?
Well, they have to. I mean, it's not a matter of, can you? Hey, everybody can have a letdown after a big win, but the Hokies can't afford to do that. I mean, that win last week, I cannot emphasize the importance of that win last week. It was more than beating a top 10 team. It was beating a team that you had to beat to win the Coastal. Mm. Had to win that game. Not to mention all the pressure in the offseason and so forth. Team I thought looked extremely good on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Burmeister played well. We know how well their wide receivers are. And everything about that W was a field good. So how do you build on that? You take care of business. There are no letdowns if you're Virginia Tech. So, have they had them in the past? They have. The wild spikes and inconsistency, especially at home. They've lost some games at home to teams you're like, what are we doing here? So I expect Virginia Tech to learn from their lessons. The win last week is a humongous momentum W for the program. I expect them to take care of business tomorrow.
Coach Fuente, who told us on Monday he was concerned about Rick Stockstill's team, doubled down on it again this week.
We will be challenged. I mean, Coach Stock has been at MTSU, I think, for 16 years. He's done a fantastic job there for some time. They can run. When you look at their overall team speed on both sides of the ball, they've always been fast, and they can really run. They scored 50 points last week, and we've got to get our football team ready to go. And if we're got serious aspirations about being the type of football team that we've talked about, then we've got to be able to do these types of things. We've got to be able to put the previous week behind us and move forward.
100% right. And watching that clip reminded me, I forgot to do this. It reminded me I've got to get an ACC Network mug, Packer and Durham mug, and I got to get that to Blacksburg because that set is looking a little bare. He's got one sheet of paper and a pencil, actually a pen. I don't think there's anything on the paper. I think it's just there. I think it's just there for decorative purposes. But we've got to get a Packer and Durham mug or something and just say, hey, Pete, just put it right there. It's not going to go against anything else. We're promoting Virginia Tech and the network. So I'll do my due diligence to make sure Virginia Tech gets something from the basement to add to the table. They need a little spruce up. You're going to be in the top 20, high profile. My man with Fu there, Fun with Fu, we got to help him out there a little bit. Got to do something.
Well done. It's all about the marketing and the branding.
No doubt.
Name, image, and likeness. Let's get it going.
I've told you that from day one. That's why we tell every sponsor, you come on board this show, there will never be a show in the history of ESPN that will be kinder to sponsors than Packer and Durham. I'll put our act up against anything ESPN's ever thought about creating. Won't even be close. We'll woodshed everybody.
Well done.
Yep.
Let's get to the five games that are expected to kind of get a little sideways, if you will. Wake Forest, Norfolk State. For me, I thought Taysir Mack was pretty interesting in terms of just letting us know kind of where they were. Or Jasir Mack, in the way that the game has got to occur, or Jasir Taylor, sorry.
You got,
Wake
you've
Forest.
Got,
I was
you've
thinking
got me
Taysir
confused.
Mack from Pittsburgh.
Is he from Owings Fork, Maryland, or whatever that question was
Stop.
You were throwing on me a while ago?
Jasir Taylor. And they got turnovers. They got return game scores. They got offensive scores the other day. The thing about Wake Forest is just take the next step. The game is the one next week. It's the one next week that everybody – trust me, we're going to be talking a lot about Wake Forest, Florida State next week.
Yeah, well, Dave Clawson's job is to make sure that they emphasize there's an L in Norfolk State, because there is and there will be. I think Wake's too talented. I think they're too well coached. I think they know what they're doing. So I expect Wake Forest to go about their business, get the W, and Florida State will have to make the trip to Switzerland next week.
And then we'll put the Noles right there behind it with Jacksonville State. Again, a team that showed you a lot of things on Sunday night. Just take the next step, right, Pac?
There's an L in Jacksonville State, too, and there'll be one when you're doing the ball game tomorrow night. I listen, these have got to be games that the ACC teams line up and just go, no, I'm sorry, excuse me. Enjoy the check. Enjoy the beatdown. We're going about it. See you. Catch you later. That's what's got to happen this week.
Any of these others, BC, UMass, Louisville, Eastern Kentucky, Clemson, South Carolina State, is there anything in particular you want to see?
A lot of
points.
To
me, I always think about depth and backups and things like that.
Right. A lot of scoring. You get a lot of playing time. Hopefully no injuries. That's got to be a key for a long, long season. But those are games, quite frankly. I'm still going to go team of mystery, though. I don't know anything about Louisville. I watched them Monday night. You know, the first half, they were out to lunch. Second half, they finally scored some points, but the game was over. To me, the team of mystery is still just that. But all the other ones, I expect there to be a ton of points, blowouts, and a lot of players getting some playing time. That's what my expectations are for those ACC teams on Saturday.
All right, but how many teams put up 50, Pac?
Three. I'm just guessing. Three.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
three.
And it's whether the score is 43, the object's obviously to win, get through it unscathed. But, mm-hmm. You know, I just think it's a golden opportunity for the ACC to have one of those great weeks where we come back on Monday and go, guess what? You know, you're on record thinking they're going to win all 14. FPI, mm-hmm. I think, had them favored in 13. So, again, the expectation level from all of our perspectives with this conference is that when we get back on Monday, it's a great weekend of ACC football as far as final scores. But there are going to be some tests. And I would tell you the Alliance games and the pair of games with the Southeastern Conference will be good tests. And those will be fun games to watch.
I think you're right. All right, we go to the Power Hour on a Football Friday edition of Packer and Durham. Mark Herzlich and Kelsey Riggs are going to join us. And if you've never heard the story of the man in the red bandana, be prepared for that as we remember 20 years of 9/11. But when we come back, Mark Herzlich is on the grounds for Virginia and Illinois. Plus, we'll get his thoughts on his alma mater's week one effort as well. That's next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.